This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Binge on full seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. Right now, our listeners get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Let's try this again for the ninth fucking time. It's Wednesday, July 10th. May the good Lord be looking over all you motherfuckers, whether it's Gandhi, Buddha, Jesus, Satan, whoever the fuck it is. It's going to be a beautiful fucking show today. Usually we come at you 6 a.m. creeping while you're sleeping. But today we're doing a la carte. You know what I'm saying? This is not on Wednesdays a la carte. No more fucking Ustream. Only Monday morning so you can see us in full effect. I got an in-house guest today, my man, Jerry Boom Boom LaRocha. As always, my Goombarich over there. What happened to the music, dog?
Oh, I thought you were introducing Jerry.
No, I'm introducing my main fucking soldier over here, a.k.a. John Paulito with three cheeseburgers in him. Look at him. But you do look like John Paulito a little bit. I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to look this up. I don't know if I should be insulted or not.
Motherfucker. What insult? What was the last time I insulted you?
Yesterday. 8 minutes ago.
When did I insult you? I didn't insult you. You know I love you. The fucking thing is down. Unbelievable. But we're back. It's a beautiful day. Get this music going. I got to spark up a number out of respect for fucking David Gilmour and the rest of that monster. Hit it, Lee. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? This is the fucking way to open a motherfucking show up with these savages showing up at your house. A joint in your hand, you got your feet, they're stinking. But who gives a fuck? They're on the couch. You got the earphones on, people are looking at you. Who gives a fuck? Here you go. Bam. Oh, shit. I should have brought that Quaalude.
Oh, you didn't?
Nah, because I got to drive. I'll be fucking playing bumper cars.
That's how you drive anyways.
Yeah, I don't drive with no fucking bumper cars, cocksucker. What's happening, Lisa? Yeah, how you doing?
Not much, buddy. I'm doing good.
It feels weird to do a podcast in the afternoon, not having that. But we had to switch it up a little bit. So Mondays are going to be live on Ustream. Wednesdays, they're a la carte. Lisa will drop it on you Wednesday night, like 2 in the fucking morning. And then that's it. We're going to do 2 live. We've been telling you, so stop. All right, stop. Don't fucking hit me up on Twitter. Joey, no fun. I'm staying away. Who gives a fuck? Just Mondays only live. What's happening, Jerry?
How you LaMonica? Doing? Thanks for having me, man.
You know me. Look at Jerry with his fucking Pink Floyd
I'm
shirt.
I'm ready on. Representing there.
He's
come
got
on.
His fucking sharp glasses. He's probably got his Spider-Man underwear on. It's my man, Jerry LaMocha. I've known Jerry LaMocha, what, 12 years?
12 years we met.
Since the El Paso fucking comic strip, one of my old haunts.
Yeah,
I did everything in fucking El Paso. Do you know that? Downs, ups, heroin, black tar.
You even went to Burlington Coat Factory with me.
Oh, went to all you could eat Chinese buffets.
Yeah.
We used to fuck it up down there. Fucking, no call to the in-house guest right here rocking it with us. Look at fucking Lee looking on the show. We're talking about John Paulito. He's a
let me look him up while you're
and it's a fucked up situation. This guy
he's
was
the crow. He was the guy who ran the pawn
yeah,
shop.
Yeah, the pawn shop. This guy's been around, dude.
Dude, he's great.
He's fucking great. But I, you know, in 85, I was a big Miami Vice fan. 84, it started.
Yeah.
And like in 87, when it was just going downhill, Miami Vice, they were just snorting blood.
Was that when Sheena Easton was on the show
yeah,
and all that?
Sheena
yeah,
Easton. They were just killing it. In fact, I seen a bad episode from 87 the other day. It's on in the morning. And I came back from doing the podcast. It was on one of those channels, CMT. And they had a character the last season. It was when Crockett lost his memory. And he went to the other side.
Oh, no. That yeah. sounds terrible. Oh, that terrible. Sounds like the worst
it
idea.
It was fucking terrible. And the guy he was working against was a guy called El Gato.
Okay.
And that was John Paulito.
And Gato was John Paulito with a fucking silver cape on, with silver gloves, with two good-looking dudes with long hair, slinging dick.
Oh, I know John Paulito.
Fuck
yeah. You.
Fuck, you look like John Paulito.
No, I don't.
If you juiced all the way to 150, people would hug you on the streets. That's before you want to get.
I can't pull off that mustache. Yes,
you know what he was great in? Did you see Barton Fink? Did you ever see Barton Fink? Dude, when he played, because you know, he told me the story. Because I used to work at that bookstore down on Ventura, and he would come in all the time. And I said, look, I never would bother the celebrities, but I was like, I have to. But dude, I was like, I said, you were so fucking good. And because they filmed them one after the other, Miller's Crossing and then Barton Fink, I said, you were so good in both those movies. And I said, and you play two polar opposite characters. Because in Miller's Crossing, he's like the really loud, you know, the
crazy
Italian mobster.
I can't get him off my back.
Yeah. And then in Barton Fink, he's like the meek, you know, quiet, who used to run the studio, but then he got bought out, and then they kept him around as like the butler for the new studio head. And he said that he, when they showed him the script for Barton Fink, he got insulted that he wasn't the studio head. He wanted to be the brash, loud guy, but then he didn't want to play the meek role. But then, like, one of the Coen brothers' girlfriends saw him at a restaurant and said, you have to do it. Just do it. So he did it. And he said he got a shit ton more work because of it. He, you know, just playing two completely polar opposite people. He said he got a lot more work after that. He was so... Dude, that's a compliment, Lee.
Nah, it's great. Now, Lee, you're a handsome motherfucker, but if you get the gel and point your hair that way, you'll look like John Paulito in fucking The Crow and Miami Vice Season 5. Anyway. But here's the funny thing. So I do this movie named... Like, I never met John Paulito. But he is one of these guys that I watched growing up, man. The other day I did the Laugh Factory, and fucking Paul Rodriguez is there, and then I got in my car and went to the Hala, and Damon Wayans is there. And on the way home, I'm like, you know, 15 years ago, I would look up to those guys like Jesus Christ.
You lost your mind.
Like, they were so far away.
Yeah,
like I was so far away from that goal, and now I walk in there, they give me a hug. Like Damon gave me a big hug. Paul Rodriguez was talking about Cuba to me. He gave me a big hug. But and it's so weird. Like now I'm one of them.
That's
like,
great.
I'm one of them. Like I became one of them. Like not a star or nothing, but I'm a comic, and they know I'm a comic, and I know they're a comic, and they give me that mutual respect. It's very weird when you're a loser. You just crack jokes.
Now, but do you see in the eyes of other comics, like now when you go to a room, like if you go to the Laugh Factory, when you see like the younger, newer comics, they look at you the same way that you would have looked at Rodriguez or Damon Wayans 15 years ago. They're all like, oh shit, it's Uncle Joey. Like, you know, that's that. It's that same vibe, man.
That's crazy. When I used to see like Dice or Eddie Griffin, I saw Eddie Griffin the first night I walked into the Comedy Store and thought I was going to shit myself. And the black kid from The Last Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Tupac, the karate kid. Yeah. Kupac, whatever his name was. Yep. I saw him. I almost had a fucking heart attack. And then when I saw Andrew Dice Clay, I thought I was really going to have a heart
attack. Leroy Green? Yeah.
What's his name in real life?
Leroy Green.
In real life?
Tamike.
Who the fuck do you think
he's doing? Tamike.
Lee. He was Bruce Leroy. That Bruce was the whole Leroy. Thing. You never seen that movie either, did you, Lee? I'm going to have to tie you up and make you watch that. Dude, that's a classic movie. The Last Dragon is
fucking great.
You know what movie Lee has not seen?
What's that?
And I got talks about some shit, but I'll tell you what movie. You know, listen, a good film is a movie that you watch, and every time you see it, you know it's good. But every time you see it, you catch another detail.
Absolutely.
You catch the actor come through. At first, you see the film for what it's worth, and you see the value of the director. But the more you see the film, little things, you see the value of the actor. You're like, God damn! Look what that motherfucker just did, or whatever the fuck, Patois. Yeah. Guess what movie came on when I got the baby? The baby falls asleep sometimes. You can't get up. You can't scratch your balls. You can't change the channel. You know, so sometimes it's on Dora the Explorer. Sometimes it's on Goomy Zoomies. You know, you don't know what the fuck I'm going to end up in. I'm the type of motherfucker, I'll sit there for her. I don't want to move her. If I get 30 minutes out of her, trust me, you fucking sit there. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to get fucking Jamoke to
You've
watch it.
You've never seen that?
I don't like horror movies.
Explain to him it's not a horror
It's not a horror film. But it's a mental fuck.
I watched Rosemary's Baby.
No.
That's a horror movie.
That's a horror movie.
All right. You got to see.
That freaked me out.
But I saw that movie 30 fucking times. You know, people always say, Joey, talk about more movies. Bang! Here you go. Because my man here is a fucking movie, music nerd, computer.
Oh, big time.
Comic book. So we're dropping
video games.
And we got my man Lee Syed, who's a master of everything. You know, you put him on Jeopardy, he'll stump Alex Trebek. You know what I'm saying? So,
speaking of Jeopardy, a show that they need to bring back Joey and I, if we went on it as like a team, we would mop Rock and Roll Jeopardy. They used to show it on VH1. It was Jeopardy, but all classic rock trivia.
Yeah, yeah,
dude, we would crush that fucking. We would run the table. We would run the table.
We fuck it up. But let me explain something to you.
Silence of the Lambs is, oh, dude,
I'm sitting there and I got her, and it's the scene where, first off, he's fucking masked up already.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the fucking mask on, and the guy's cursing him, and all of a sudden they're pulling him off a plane, and that hot senator, because she's attractive. She's got to be 55. Bang it! You would fuck her with a couple cocktails. She walks up, and they all stop. And he just starts going off. He's like, Senator, I'm not going to waste your time with her. He just starts dropping it out of her. And he looks mean. He's fucking badass.
He's got the mask. The most famous, probably one of the most famous masks in movie history.
Yeah. And you can see his lips talking through it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, oh, girl. You know, all of a sudden he goes, can I ask you something, Senator? Did you breast milk or what?
Yes. He goes, did you breastfeed your daughter? Yeah.
And she's like, what? And he goes, did it make your nipples hard? And he goes, get this animal out of here. And as she turns, that's when he starts dropping knowledge. 5'10", 6 blonde hair. A medium build. I met him one time. He hung out with whatever. They went under the name of Buffalo Bill.
It's a great
scene.
It's
just fucking amazing. And then they pull him away, and you see him fucking. The guy goes to sign him off, and he can't find his pen, Lee. Oh my God. And right there, you don't think nothing. He just can't find his fucking pen.
Okay.
And you see Hannibal Lecter doing fine.
That's the moment you know he's springing
himself. He's getting down. He's bringing
getting himself out of there.
So now they flash to this fucking scene where she's talking to the cop, and she's trying to get in. She's got his paintings.
This is Jodie Foster now.
Jodie
comes
Foster,
back
one of the greatest actresses, top 10 of all time. And he walks into this room. They got him in a room with three guards with a cell built.
Okay.
And he's in there with a fucking curtain listening to opera music.
Yep.
And the cop says, look at this motherfucker. He ordered a lamb, rare, extra rare lamb chops.
Okay.
This is the second heaving of it. So he walks in. They say, kneel down, get against the thing. He has to put his arms like that, and they handcuff him, and they go in his room. This is how dangerous he is. He's just dangerously. You cannot even fucking take your eyes off him.
You know what he is? He's a cannibal.
Yeah.
He's a cannibal.
That was the thing. He was a psychiatrist.
Cannibal the cannibal. Who that would eat his fucking patients.
Eat his patients. He would get in their brains and then fucking literally eat their brains.
But when he can, you see him. They handcuff him. He takes the handcuff off, and all of a sudden, the one guy's going, moving his painting. He left his paintings there on purpose.
Yeah.
20 times I saw the movie, just caught that. Left the paintings there on purpose, so the guy had to put them to side, puts the dish down, and when the guy goes to turn around, fucking Hannibal Lecter grabs his wrist and throws, Lee, your heart stops. He grabs his wrist and just cuffs him. Quick. Doop, choop, boom. And the guy's face, he just died. Lee, you just died.
It's amazing.
It's 2 seconds. Bing, bang, boom. Get this Puerto Rican out of my room. This is fucking lightning quick. Bam. And this motherfucker just—you just see—he's a great actor, but
yeah,
he just goes. And all of a sudden, the other cop he can't find the fucking key. This just happens, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he comes out of one of those Kabuto Tanfas and just starts whipping him, bam. And then as he's fucking killing him, there's blood. He's over there listening to opera music, dressed up.
It's amazing,
Lee. It's fucking amazing. And how he gets out of there, and what happens, how he calls her, but. While the scene that I had watched a million times, Lee, this is how retarded I am. This is why I gotta stop smoking reefer. He's in the middle. She comes charging in. It's like when I come in here with a story for you, Lee.
Okay.
You're not gonna fucking believe it.
Right.
We went down there, and all of a sudden you're like, and he's stopping her. This is the brilliance of it. And he's like, and he's throwing things at her, right? And she's asking him questions, and he's like, nice that you're gonna send me to Anthrax Island and all this. He's goofing on her. He's goofing on her with shit. It's like, you would be pissed if I was going to send you to Anthrax Island. He's goofing on her.
Yeah. He's
like,
making a mockery of the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, he's just spitting on him, Anthrax Island. You know, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, she's coming at him. You tell me, you know. And all of a sudden, he's like, you never told me the story of why you ran away from your house. And she's like, and he fucking banged it to the end. No, I'm not going to tell you dick till you tell me why.
It was a total mind fuck. And
total mind. Brilliant. You see it, Lee, and you're like, how did they get this? He took it to it. He said he imitated Elmer Fudd. Did you ever see that?
Yeah,
the studio. It was brilliant. And he mind fucks Lee on fucking camera, which you can't do this. You cannot do it. It's impossible to do this. He's mind fucking her. She stops and she tells him the story. I went. Come on, Officer Lecter. No, keep going. I went to the farm. And were there animals dying? No. And what did you do? I took one. And I saved him. And she just fucking... And he goes, so the reason you're trying to catch me is so you could hear
She doesn't want to hear the lambs crying anymore.
She doesn't want to hear the lambs crying.
She wants to catch Buffalo
Bill. I got tears
in
my eyes. That's brilliant. Lee. That is fucking... What's the name of that author? He wrote a bunch of those books. Thomas Harris. Lee, yeah. This is a guy that if you see him, if you're a comic, a writer, whatever the fuck you're trying to do in the entertainment, if somebody says Thomas Harris in the room, suck his dick. Because you want that DNA in your fingers. Take that sperm, rub it on your fingertips, and rub it on your page. Even if you're an artist, if you paint walls, whatever the fuck you do, if it's creative... Just suck his dick. Do yourself the favor. Who the fuck? Those books, that's brilliant. And I've spoken to people who have said to me, like, bro, listen, cut it out, Joey. Scarface, all that shit, that's bullshit. Sounds of the Lambs. There's some serious people. I'm like, dog, yeah, that's great. It's Gone with the Wind and The Godfather. But Sounds of the Lambs is a mental fuck.
Have you read the book?
Here's
now, which one's better?
I'd rather in jail. They're both great. That's the problem with that.
They're both amazing.
That's the
you don't have
I read
that
three
anymore,
of them. I read three of them. Yeah, right. I read
there was he did Red Dragon is the first one,
which is the what's
Manhunter. Manhunter. That was a good flick. That's the good Michael Mann movie.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
and you know what? The guy who played Lecter in that
not
wasn't
bad.
That bad either.
Not bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who was in there? Give him the star of that movie.
The dude from CSI. Fuck. Shit. The main guy from CSI. He was in. Fuck me, this is killing me. He was great in that. He was William Peterson.
William Peterson.
He was great in that.
And then he had one scene in The Thief. He touches James Caan's fucking arm.
Yeah.
And James Caan pulls a gun on him and he runs
away. He was great in To Live and Die in L.A. too. That was fucking...
Another fucking movie that's on now. For some reason, they must owe money. That To Live and Die in L.A. has been on for about 3 fucking months now. And I'm going to tell you, there's a line in there that I completely stole. In 1985, when that movie came out... And I've been using it for years. And it's one of my favorites. And bro, it's John Turturro when he gets busted at the airport. And then
he's 15 years old, too. It's funny watching how young he is.
Oh, my God. And then the guy comes to see him. And he's talking to him. And he's like, he's got the fucking... This is how good of an actor. He's got what's the pink shit for ulcers?
Pepto-Bismol
at the visit, and he's drinking Pepto-Bismol. Yeah. And also at the end, he's like, "Yeah, listen, don't say nothing." He goes, "Yeah," and I promise not to come in your mouth and to check it in the mail. That's how. And he's telling this to the star of the movie. And as he goes to get up, he goes, "Bing, bing," and he goes, "Don't forget about me." That's a classic fucking line. That's a classic.
You got that from the movie?
That's John Turturro.
I think I know where they're playing it again because that piece of shit.
I'm fucking encore every day at 4:30.
Have you seen that piece of shit movie Drive that came out 2 years ago? It's brilliant.
Yeah.
No, it's a ripoff of To Live and Die in L.A. Yes.
When he's hitting people,
they need to educate.
You're right. Look at fucking. We're giving you a heavy duty fuck. We ain't fucking around.
But speaking of the Silence of the Lambs, my favorite part of that whole scene when he's got the mask. On is so what he tells the senator, because the senator's daughter has been kidnapped by Buffalo Bill, the other serial killer.
Okay.
And so he's like, and he asks her, "Did you breastfeed her?" And she goes, "Why?" And then she said, "Because a lot of times amputees will feel a tingling like from their missing limb." He goes, "So when your little daughter's laid out on the slab, maybe your nipple might feel a little bit."
Holy shit.
And then she just goes, "Take this thing back to Baltimore." And then that's when he does what Joey said. He describes everything so they can't let him leave yet. He describes Buffalo Bill to a T. And then after he's completely just mindfucked this senator.
Mindfucked her!
As they're dragging him away, he goes, "Oh, by the way,
one more thing. Yeah, one more thing. Love the suit.
Love the suit."
She fucking cracks. You can hear the...
And this is... speaking of wins, like, how brilliant of you... And again, something that I never even saw until, like, the fourth time I saw that movie is when Jodie Foster, at the very beginning, she interviews him. Right? Because that's the whole point of the movie.
That's the whole patois.
And that's the same thing as Manhunter was about the William Peterson... is trying to catch another serial killer. He's the one who busted Lecter the first time.
Okay.
And the way he beat Lecter was he got in his head so much that he started to think like him. So that's a great mind fuck too. So he had to retire almost because he was so scared of getting into Lecter's mind that he started to think like Lecter. So he said, "I have to fucking walk away." Well, then this other serial killer that they call the Tooth Fairy starts killing people. And they said, "You're the only guy who can do this." He's like, "Fuck, all right, you know?" And it's great, but like, So she goes, Jodie Foster goes to see him. And one thing I never noticed, like the fourth time I see is he's like the far end of like the special ward. I mean, like where they keep these psychos of all psychos in this prison. And she goes in and he's like, you know, if there's six cells, he's cell number six at the end of the hallway, right?
Okay.
And so by the time she walks up to his cell, it's one of the greatest shots in movie history. He's already standing. He's not sitting down. He knew she was coming the minute, and he's just standing smiling through the glass. It's as scary as fucking, like, whoa. And then one of the psychos goes, I can smell your cunt. He tells that to her, one of the guys in the prison. And then he goes, what did he tell you? He goes, he told me he could smell my cunt. He goes, I cannot.
Like, that was
I myself cannot.
I'm telling you, it's an education in itself. It's an education in it fucking itself, that movie. That movie really fucking is. It's something if you're trying to act or write or whatever. You're just trying to get the fuck into
it. If you want to tell a story, if you want anything. Direct. And then Joey, the guy's name, the guy who says, I can smell your cunt, when she walks away, he literally comes on her. He's sitting there jerking off. And he throws a jizz on her face and she flips out. And because Lecter didn't give a fuck about her, he was like, fuck her. He gives her nothing. And then the minute he throws jizz in her face, he says, come back. He helps her because he feels bad for her that guy humiliated her like that. So then Lecter, the next night, he talks that guy into killing himself. He just goes up to his cell, and they never show it. That's what makes it so fucking creepy. He's just whispering to him through the cell, and that guy just flips out and kills himself. And then later on, like, so she comes back to visit, and he makes like a joke about her boss, and he goes, "Are you guys fucking?" And then the guy's name was Miggs, who threw the jizz, and she goes, "Oh, I find that childish, Dr. Lecter. That's like something Miggs would say." And then he goes, "Not anymore." that was great.
He talked a guy into killing himself.
He talks a dude into killing himself.
Now, did he say, like, I want you to kill yourself, or he just, like,
you never know. You don't see it. That's the mind fuck.
Wait, you don't see it?
That's the mind fuck. It's implied that you come back and you realize that he talked Miggs into killing himself.
Shit.
Like, it's so creepy. All right. And it's genius.
Genius.
I can't get high, because if I get high, I'll get freaked out. But
No, your head will explode if you don't get
it. Do you mind if I give him the recommendation for this? If you can find the Criterion Collection DVD version of it, the extras are mind-blowing. So what the warden at the prison makes Lecter watch are these televangelist videos to annoy him. You know, he makes him watch these, and if you get the credit, all those are, you actually see them. It's crazy, like the detail they went into that. It's fucking amazing. It's tremendous. If you can find the Criterion DVD version of it, get it.
Speaking of movies, in the Criterion Collection, they have that on Hulu Plus. We're sponsored by Hulu Plus. You can go to huluplus.com/joey or go to joeydiaz.net and click on the banner. I fucking love it. You must love you on the road. Have you ever gone to Hulu Plus?
It's the best because you sit there, you just get the internet, get the hotel's internet going, right? And then bam, you stream whatever. Oh, I love it. I love it.
So any computer, any smartphone, on your TV, they have South Park, they have the Criterion Collection movies, they have the Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead movie that I did the juice fast from. Don't wait. You get 2 weeks for free. After that, it's only $7.99. And I mean, Joey says it all the time. Got to get all the deals. And I'm a Jew, so I have the best deals for it. So that's it, man. I mean, just go to huluplus.com/Joey.
This guy signed up again using his mother's name.
I did. Oh, I'm going to. Fuck yeah. It's free.
Great idea.
This shit, that's how they do it.
That's how they do it.
You know, when I got locked up, I called the prison where I was. I called the whole state of Colorado looking to see if I could shoot a special. I got the number at the thing. I'm going to have somebody call for me so I don't sound like a fucking fake in a Puerto Rican. Yeah. Call for me. You know what I'm saying? So let me tell you what happened yesterday. You know, Monday I came in here and I was a little fired up about, you were with me Sunday. And I want you to explain to people that, first off, let's get something straight. I'm not racist by no fucking means at all.
No.
But if I was racist, I hate fucking... if I was racist, I would hate WASP first. And I said that. A couple of people got insulted. And I understand that you guys meant it the wrong way. No. Listen, Lee is Jewish, but he's half a WASP. But the more we run together, he loses the WASP.
I'm not a WASP.
No, you're a nice kid. You're a fucking savage. I just don't understand how you haven't eaten her ass yet.
That's, I don't want to eat
WASP
ass.
But that's a WASPy thing. WASP don't eat ass. They criticize pornography, you know, whatever. But I didn't mean it like what. No. I meant it by this fucking guy that had sandals on.
I know exactly what you mean. You don't mean actually rich white people.
No.
You mean stuck up people.
Stuck up and dummies that are so easier, stupid.
Yeah. And it's WASP is just a, I mean, because
it's no a offense, type of fucking person. Yeah, no, yeah, no, it's not like that. So me and fucking Jerry are talking. And as I'm pulling up, I'm telling Jerry about this waspy fuck. And now you witness it. See? Because you people think I make shit the fuck up as I'm walking down the street. You ought to see this, Lee. Even you would have got fucking aggravated.
Oh, yeah.
So me and my man are carrying coffees. I got a green tea. He's got a fucking whatever green tea.
The best.
You know how you're trying to walk through fucking Marie E.T.?
Yeah.
We're trying to walk through there, and there's a fucking guy in a car with glasses with those shields on. That's the fucking first sign that you're a waspy fuck.
Oh, you that's the worst.
Go
dude.
For sunglasses.
Right.
You put those flip things on. That's 1970 type shit. He's got a Honda Accord.
Is he 80 years old?
No.
No, he's like in his 40s.
And he's got another waspy fuck sitting next to him. Lee, they couldn't back out.
And let's explain to those who don't live out here.
There you go.
Marie ETC is one of the easiest. Oh, that place.
That's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the easiest parking lots on the fucking world to maneuver around. It's not like you're in, you know. And the guy, dude, he couldn't make it. And then Joey, as we're walking, he looks right into his window and he goes, "Keep trying, fucko."
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
I have to. Yeah. I can't take it at that point. I just sat behind a fucking guy eating a turkey fucking sandwich in an Italian deli with sandals on. Now I got to bump into fucking this guy. You know, the insurance adjuster.
He goes, "Keep trying, fucko." And then the guy gets more scared and he takes him even longer. It takes him even longer to get out because he's thinking Joey's going to kill him if he can't not get out of the parking lot. So him and his friend, they just get... They looked at like it literally like we might as well have been just two of like the most gangster looking black dudes on the planet. That's how scared they looked. They were just like, "Oh god, we gotta get the fuck out of here." They thought we were two black dudes ready to roll them. They were like, "Fuck, we come on, Mitch, you can do this." Like he was cheering him on. Like, "Come on, Mitch, you got this, buddy. You can do this. Come on."
Oh, these guys, they kept going back and forth.
Wait, it was like fucking Austin Powers.
Here you go, dog. Let's smoke some.
There's a whole big open entrance to it.
Hit it, Lee. It looks a little bad. Yeah. For you, Lee. Look,
it was. It
a
was
a little bit of look at Lee looking sharp today, like a motherfucker.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And then Joey goes on this beautiful rant that I said he's got to do. Is when you talked about the deli. Then you mentioned waiting in line behind a guy, I don't smoke. I can't do it. I'll tell that story maybe. Joey tells a story. He tells it about by going to the Italian deli. And what did you say about the people who order? They don't know how to order an Italian deli. So they here's the quote Joey says. "You want," and I fucking couldn't breathe. He goes, "They want the same turkey they get at Subway with that thin layer of jizz on it."
That turkey at Subway has a thin layer of jizz. Listen, I wanted that turkey avocado fucking jalapeno sandwich to work. I would have lost 80 pounds on that turkey fucking sandwich. It's 6 points. I went to one day, it was delicious. 2 days later, I went again, and they gave me a piece of the turkey sticking out by itself and it had that gloss on it. And I had that gloss so you could see the fucking paw and everything.
The paw.
And like everything, they had just hit it with a hammer and it squished it. And I tasted it, and it didn't taste. It's fucking nasty.
It's
really bad cold cuts, and that's why I call them communists. Those are the worst people for your health right there.
Subway?
You ever smell your asshole after you fucking eat Subway?
No.
Like not going to a yoga position and smelling of the asshole.
You're going to Happy Baby?
You take a shit, you walk out, and you go back in there 8 minutes later. Going back in the 8 minutes saying, you'll doubt yourself. You're like, "I gotta go to the doctor.
Yeah.
This ain't fucking right."
Subway, you take the worst shits after Subway.
Yeah.
Worse than McDonald's, worse than any fast food place.
I love Subway. Listen, on the road, you're a broke ass.
That's all
comic,
you got, man.
I lived in fucking the veggie and cheese.
Yeah.
It was my favorite footlong with vinegar oil and salt and pepper. Good googly moogly. You can take that motherfucker a long way, dog.
Yeah.
And that pushes old shit out. That's everything. You got a pound of fucking lettuce in that sandwich.
But when I was on the road and I had to take a Subway shit, I wouldn't do it in my hotel because I don't want to ruin it. I would go to a Toys R Us. That's my tip. If anyone's ever traveling,
you can't
go take a shit in a Toys R Us.
Because
nobody's there.
Why wouldn't you do it in your hotel room?
Because you stink it up for every, like, all 8 wings of the hotel room are going to smell it.
Nah, you can't shit at Toys R Us. A little kid smells that and he goes fucking bananas.
They're the cleanest bathroom.
I smell my shit and I don't even want that. I got to get another bathroom in that place. Because in about a year, here. She's going to be in the bathroom.
You just got to get a Subway shit bathroom?
Yeah.
Everything's shit.
In the backyard or something?
Horrible. Yeah, horrible. Subway outhouse.
What's
Subway
been coming out of my muffler lately is fucking, because I'm eating, like today I ate a nice piece of halibut for lunch.
Oof.
I went to the farmer's market and they had it for like nine.
Which one do you go to?
The one on Laurel Canyon here, and I got the fucking two pieces of halibut. I got a bag of clams. My wife made spaghetti and fucking clam sauce the other day.
Well, the healthier you eat, the worse it is. When I was juicing, it was the stinkiest stuff I ever had.
Oh, it's fucking pure fucking. The healthiest shit you eat, like soy protein.
It comes at you the worst way.
You eat one of those whey protein bars, see what your ass smells like. You can't even finish this shit. You gotta tuck it back in your ass, run out there and give it a breather. You gotta put a fan on, a stick of fucking matches.
You need the Lecter mask.
I hate that shit when people light matches. That is the worst smell in the world. Oh, it drives me fucked.
It doesn't disguise it, really. It just doesn't makes it really smell worse.
I've lived alone for so long that I haven't thought about it. I had the girl over here for the whole weekend, and I didn't use the bathroom in my room. I used the side one because for that reason. But
dude, just get a candle. Don't light a match. I have a candle. If you're going to light a match, buy a fucking candle.
I got to get... You know what real success is? Having your own fucking bathroom.
Yeah.
No
if
question.
If you really think about it, that's part of like going, you know what, no I'm question. Buying a house, but here's the deal. Honey, in that room, I'm building a bathroom. And these are the dimensions. Like, this is all I want. I'll take half my retirement money to invest in that fucking...
Would you put a TV in it? Or you literally just want a room to shit in?
I want a room to shit in. With a shower that I can go
maybe right the best.
With a bidet?
You want a bidet?
Oh, yeah. Turn it on. Wash your asshole and your nutsack.
The only time I had it was in North Bergen with you in that hotel.
Did you use it?
Yeah, it was weird. It was cold, though. Like, I wanted it to be like warm water.
Cold water is good, too, because it reduces the hemorrhoids. Yeah, it's good for the asshole.
I don't have hemorrhoids.
You know, in Japan, they got the thing that cleans your ass, the toilet that you flush it.
Yeah.
And it cleans your ass with high-powered fucking water. That's tremendous. But there's always residue. And then I go out and I come back because my asshole's on fire. That's the shit that kills me. So I like going right from the shitter right to the tub. And I go in there for a little while and disintegrate it with a paper towel. What the fuck you got? One of those loofahs.
Oh, and, that's sick.
And you clean around the muffler with the loofah to take the sides off. You know how we do it, though.
Jesus, I never know you thought so much about it.
God, it's disgusting. You walk, it's disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. You got to really think about it. So I would get a nice toilet, no TV. That's dummy type shit. I don't want a TV in my bed.
No.
I'm in there. I like a couple books. But then again, you ever take a shit and you got a book and the next day you're like, I don't want to touch that book. It's got shit in it.
Yes.
That's how I always think. Like, I look at a shitty book, so I don't like taking nothing in there.
I take
magazines and I make read the whole thing on one shit.
Yeah.
So all I can think about now is, since you guys fly so much, do you guys shit on planes?
I can't.
I'll kill you.
I can't. No way.
Last week a dude did it. Last week a dude did it. And I almost fucking, everybody looked at him weird. Not just me. I looked at him weird after everybody else looked at him weird. Like, dog, that's fucked up.
Dude, even if it's 5 hours, shit at the airport beforehand. No,
shit at the airport. Don't fly. Tap out. Say I'm taking the next flight.
That's bullshit, because it ruins it for everything. Because they're not that, obviously, I don't care how big of a plane it is. You're going to smell it. You know, at the front, wherever. It's brutal. It's fucking brutal. No way, never. Can you shit in public, though? Like, can you go to, like, a mall and take a dump? But I always feel weird about doing that stuff. Like, I'd rather hold it and just wait and go to my bath. Like, you know what did it, I think, was when I was living in Dallas. I grew up in Dallas. I was, like, 6 years old, and we went to this restaurant. And I remember I went to the bathroom, and the lights were all, it was all off. It was all gone.
Okay.
And it pitch black. And then right when I walk in, this light of match comes on. And there was just this black dude sitting taking a dump. And he just turned on a light and goes, hey, you shit in here and you take a piss and that motherfucker over there. He goes, but if you got to shit, you got to wait because I'm shitting.
Oh, my God.
I'm never going to do another like that. It was too gross. That was just too weird. It was like, okay, thank you. I mean, thank you for pointing it out, but I'm getting the fuck, all right, thank you. But
one of the best things I ever did 10 years ago as a comic was I chucked ego out of the way and I started taking buses.
Did the Greyhound.
There was a part of me that I said, you know what? I got to do this.
When did you take Greyhound buses? Or
this had to be 98 to 2003.
Oh, I thought you meant you still do it. Okay.
I took Greyhound buses and it was an adventure of a lifetime. One of the best ones I ever took. Was from New York 42nd Street to Dallas Improv.
Oh, no, you wow!
Didn't. Yes, yeah, I dude.
How long did it take?
18 hours. That's a quick one.
Yeah, that's actually easy because that goes fast.
That's an easy one.
So they don't stop? Like, you just go?
They stop to gas up.
But they drive through the night and stuff?
Yeah.
I guess that's not bad.
It wasn't bad.
They all drive through the night. Here's the thing. They all drive through the night, but the express, the ones that aren't express, dude, they're going to stop in
everywhere.
Every shitty little fucking town.
I paid the extra $28, whatever the fuck it was, because what happened, something happened. I went to New York, and everybody I went to hang out with was busy. You know, life moved on.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought I was still stuck in 82. And it's 98. They're not snorting coke now. They're shooting heroin. You know, so now, something happened. I said, you know what? I got my bag. I called up Greyhound, and I'm like, listen, Dallas. And they're like, there's a fucking bus that leaves at 11:15 that gets you there like at 5 the next day in the afternoon. I'm like, are you serious? It was an express. Tremendous. The bad thing is if you got to go to the bathroom.
That's brutal, dude. That's, you just got to wait. You just got to hope to hold
you
it.
You can pee
it.
I was going to say, we can pee. Okay.
And this was way before 9/11, so I would roll 4 or 5 joints.
Yeah.
I would take a Walkman or a Discman in those days.
Yeah, dude.
And I would fucking, you know, I made the best of it. I had books. You know, after a while, you learn how to do things.
And then it doesn't become a chore.
It doesn't become a chore.
It's not like, oh, I can't believe it. You actually enjoy it. Like, I loved, like, when I first started, I did, for about a 5-year period when I first started doing the road. Because, you know, a lot of times when you're at the levels, you know, I'm still kind of at that, like, nobody knows who the fuck I am. So, like, especially when you're a beginner, man, you're going to get calls 2 days before the show.
2 days before. That's
like,
what,
hey,
I was doing.
Can you come and do this? And you can't say no because, well, I can't say no to him. But you know, you can't fly because that's set at, you know, almost $1,000. And then you do $78. It's crazy. You pay back then. It was probably what, 50,
Paso,
60.
That motherfucker used to call me Sunday night.
Yes.
To be there Tuesday.
Yeah, Sunday to be there Tuesday.
That's 20. That's 32 hours.
32. Right? Yeah, no question.
32. So it's 11 o'clock from downtown L.A. That gets you there the next day at 4.
That's,
you gotta run home, take a shower, and you're on stage, Jack.
And you have, because you can't say no.
You
at
can't
that
say
point.
No.
You can't.
Now you don't like being like, you don't like sitting down and watching TV. I've taken the bus from Boston, like the Greyhound from Boston to New York, which is 4 hours. I've taken that 1,000 times.
Easy.
Do you freak out on like an 18-hour bus ride?
No.
No.
But you don't like being confined, really.
There's something different about it.
Nobody likes being confined. But if I get you by your fucking ear and take you to jail now, you'll learn how to be confined. You'll take 3 fucking breaths and you'll go, fuck it.
No, I'm saying you
when, learn. Here's the deal. When you got to get from New York to L.A. and your budget is $100,
you'll learn. You can deal.
You'll figure it out.
And
anything over $100 comes out of your pocket, you know. In those days, it was like $189.
Yeah.
And I had the money to take the bus, like the plane. That was my plan.
That was
to
all
take
you
the
could
fucking
do.
Plane 3 days later. I didn't have to be there until Tuesday. I called Trey. Trey was like, fucking come down. We got the room here.
Yeah.
And I'll put you up. So it all worked out. I took buses from New York to Buffalo to audition for The Sopranos. Buffalo to New York.
Wow.
Back to Manhattan. That's a 6-hour fucking bus ride, my friend.
But again, when you're at that point, you have to do those things because nobody knows who you are. So you're not going to get those carte blanche, hey, you know, they're like, fuck it, we need you. That happened with El Paso a year ago when my back was all fucked up. He called me on a Monday, hey, can you be here Wednesday? And it's like, you can't say no. You got to figure it out. I mean, because it's, you know, at the end, the payday will be enough to make up for the trip and all that kind of shit. But, I mean, that Greyhounds were lifesavers back when you first start doing the road.
I had some good times. And I can't lie to you. And I wish I would have wrote about them.
Yeah.
I wish I would have kept I would have wrote. Now I would have known how to write them. And now I would have published them about those years. And I remember one time when I got on a bus. It was hotter than fuck. I used to schedule my, for 3 or 4 years, I used to schedule my summers around Syracuse, Buffalo, Rochester, Toronto. This is when I was still allowed to go into Toronto. This is way before 9/11, where I would meet my friend's girlfriend's father in Buffalo. He would take me to his house. Him and his wife would make me fucking spaghetti. They would talk Italian to me. They'd let me take a shower and change clothes. He was a gambler in the casinos in Canada. So he had a special pass. So he went through a back road and waved at him. And he dropped me in fucking Ontario. And I take the bus to Toronto. And then 2 weeks later, I come back to the bus and give him my license. And they go, who let you in? I came in last week. Nobody said nothing. Get the fuck out of here. So I would go up there. So I would bounce around. I had a friend that lived in Syracuse and had a landscaping company.
Okay.
So instead of sitting in a hotel room for 3 days or flying back to L.A., I would stay at her basement work for her for 60, 70 a day. She'd feed me.
Perfect.
The kids, the whole fucking deal. I had a great... I had it down. But I booked my whole summer around Buffalo. And Buffalo paid dick in those days. $250 to feature for 19 shows and shit. You made no dough. But I remember one time taking a bus. This is a true fucking story. I sat next to this girl. She was a 5 or a 6. But she had no clothes on. You know what I'm saying? Hey, dude. Well, the chick's got no clothes on. You don't give a fuck. She could have been a little chunky, whatever. And we start talking. And by the way, I could tell she had the heels on a bus. She was a runaway stripper. But she was telling me, and she told me right out, like, some people, you gotta love fucking honesty. This bitch just dropped it on me. Like, after an hour, we're like, so, after we get off the bus, you're gonna suck my dick in the toilet? And she's like, I would, but I got, like, a venereal disease. That's why I'm going to Buffalo to dance, because they chased me out of Syracuse.
Oh, shit.
The health department knows I got this chlamydia or whatever the fuck she had. And you can't dance for a couple of weeks. And she's like, I gotta feed my kids. So this soldier, she had a dog. And here's
that
the
is a that is a
that. And I'll never forget that fucking chick telling me that. She's like, listen, I would, but I got like fucking VD. I got like 3 of them mixed and shit. I got a cough. I got a toe that's falling off. I got some fucked up shit cracking. And I gotta get right to the fucking strip club and do a little jiggling. Because I got my kids. I left them in the fucking shelter. Yeah. I mean, this bitch was a trooper. She's telling me this.
Fuck,
and I think I even gave her the $20.
Yeah.
I think I even gave it to her because I couldn't believe it. Like, she was like, I left my kids in a fucking shelter with the neighbor. And I'm coming up to Buffalo to dance. And hopefully I'll make $200. Pay the $25 to go back to feed my kids. And I'll keep coming back. See, until the suspension... She was suspended like a baseball player after the strike. Like, she was suspended from dancing in Syracuse. It was either Syracuse or Rochester or Buffalo. Don't quote me on that. I'm like,
you know what, though? That's a true mother. Enough of this fucking, oh, she drives all the team to soccer. Fuck that.
Fuck, go. She works hard for the money.
Yeah, go dance with chlamydia. Go hop on a greyhound to dinner.
Since I've been loving you, cocksucker, let's get these people going. The church of what's happening now, you bad motherfuckers. Jerry Rocha. Led Zepp taking you back deep 73.
Yeah.
Listen to this shit. This is 30 years. That's right. They're re-releasing it. We got to spark up another one out of respect. It's been on VH1 on Friday nights, and I'll watch it every fucking time.
This movie?
Oh, and this right here, when he describes it in the beginning. Bam, bam.
You
got
to tell the story about the cop.
Bam, bam.
That's the best one.
Listen to fucking the baseball, whatever his name, John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones, dude.
This is Madison Square Garden. This ain't Kevin Hart at the Garden. This is Led fucking Zeppelin. Listen to this shit. Wiggle for Uncle Joey. Like, if you wiggle for this, if you took a head of ecstasy, would you go see Led Zeppelin?
This isn't wiggle. This is like the trance. Sort of name. I don't know.
I like that line you said, how the security guard wouldn't even pay attention to the crowd. They were watching.
Been working.
To 11 every night. Oh yeah, it really makes love and drag, drag, drag. People, I know you don't think that's right.
I'm just taking it deep, motherfucker. Spark that.
I'm flipping the best, the best of food.
Oh, I did what I could. Forget about it.
Yes, but I did what I could. Yes, I did.
Oh, I love you, mom. Kick it, Lee. Kick it, Lee. Take that motherfucker to the hoop. Pop her in the ass, Lee. Smack that monkey. Hit it, Lee. Kick that motherfucker. That's a fucking jam and a half. That's a nighttime jam.
Fuck yeah.
After you eat like a gorilla biscuit, you're laying there rubbing your feet, you pick your toenails with a fucking flipper.
Have you shown Mercy Led Zeppelin yet? Because you say you play music for her.
Yeah,
does
I play
like
music
it?
For her, but she just sits there. I've shown her this. This is one of my all-time favorite pieces live of all time. Even the video, because they have him telling he's in the green room. talking about it. And he's talking about that this song usually takes a fucking place and just levels it. Bang! And he goes, you hear the energy come back at you. Wow, and he's describing it. And all of a sudden, they just show Jimmy Page going right into it like a fucking savage with 666 on his pants. Kids went home. Listen, though, I didn't go. I was at the park when all those kids would come back. I'd be playing basketball with a fucking faggot geek with my little fucking, you know, Willis Reed basketball pants shirt on and shit, number 19, thinking I was bad. These motherfuckers were coming back drunker than a motherfucker. And I'm sitting there, and they tell me the stories. Like, bro, Jimmy Page. And I go, fine, listening to this shit. And finally, my buddy gave me the Allman Brothers on an 8-track. And he had taped The Song Remains the Same on it. And the Allman Brothers would end, and it would go right into that. And my head almost fucking blew up. I listened to that for a whole fucking summer. That, you know what comes on? I still got to pull over. It knocks my wind out of me. Anything off Houses of the Holy.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Ocean.
Dire Maker. Any of that.
All that stuff. Yeah. No Quarter. No Live. Quarter. I did heroin to that. I seen a fucking nun doing strip dancing. No. All that shit going. That was like summer of 75 for me. That was when I was basically on my own. And I would put that album on. I'd cook my steakums at night and shit. I'd take my little shower. I put mascara on my fucking nutsack to make the hair look fuller.
Dancing Days is on House of the Holy.
Dancing
right?
Days. Dancing tremendous. Days. Fucking tremendous.
You put mascara on your balls? You think I was gonna let that go?
Listen, why are you breaking my ball? The reason why we're here, basically, one other thing I gotta tell you, fucking people. Today I went to the Y today.
Okay.
Because Salami was fucking busy and had an audition. I went and got my shot, and then I went to the Y. I brought my sweats and everything, but I wanted to try this. This has been like the 8th day in a row I've been on that fucking shroom tank.
The sport?
I did 15 on the bike to warm up. I did 20 on the bag. Then I did 40 on the fucking elliptical machine. And then I went in the yoga room and I did a bunch of shrimp things, like those rollouts for jiu-jitsu. I did like 5 sets of fucking 50.
Sweet.
My shirt was drenched. I had to sit outside the car. The car probably smells like death right now from the steam sweat that came out of my fucking disgusting body. But I'll tell you what, man. If you're looking for some endurance, if you're looking for... I'm 300 fucking pounds. And if I could last... That shit on elliptical, and I smoke pot, and I fucking used to smoke cigarettes, and there's old, I guarantee there's a coke fucking farm in one of my lungs developing, and a picture of Pablo Escobar, you know. I mean, there's some shit in my lungs, but let me tell you something, I'm starting to get in better shape, and it's because of these fucking Onnit products. Give it a shot. The fucking hemp protein, give it a fucking shot. I know I've been writing better for the book, and that's the Alpha Brain. I know I've been writing on 2 fucking cylinders. You know, we just taped the fucking CD. The material was all fucking new. This is Alpha Brain. This is the shit sitting down, a cup of coffee, 2 Alpha Brains and a fucking joint. Who's better than you? Fucking all these writers could suck your dick. You can write your own sound for the fucking lamp. Go to fucking onnit.com. Buy a rope. Buy one of those fucking things. Buy some nutrients, whether it's hemp powder, whatever the fuck turns you on. The Alpha Brain. Give it a shot. Columbus did. Give it a shot. What are you doing? You're going out drinking with your friends and getting fucking bad bread shot in your face every Friday and Saturday. If you do get a piece of pussy, you got dead dick. Stop it. Even when I was 400 pounds, my dick was popping and I was eating pussy. Was I on Alpha Brain then? No. I was doing blow. Same fucking difference. You understand me? Go to fucking on it right now. Right now. Before this podcast is even. Just take a look. For your Uncle Joey, pick some. Get the immune. If you're sickly fucked, get the immune the other one. If you fucking want to jump up and down, get the shroom tech sport. You know what I'm saying,
people. I'm going to have to try this sport because the girl I'm dating is like the first girl I've ever been with who like actually like enjoys sex. So like she was here this weekend and we did it like 8 times. And I like at the end of it, I was like, I haven't worked out in a while because I was tired after all the time. I'm going to have to get the sport and start. What do you call it? Shrimps?
Shrimps to roll out when you're under somebody. So okay. You have to push your hips. I could only do like 3 of them when I went the first time or something. And I broke out into a puddle of sweat of worry. You know, because there's like 18 types of sweat. But when 10 of them show up at the same time, it's a motherfucker to stop. You know what I'm saying? So but now I've been practicing them at the house at night.
That's awesome.
I'll do 10 on each side, then I'll do 12. But my arms are still weak. They can't pick up my body. My body's a fucking mess.
Are your legs stronger? That's what me
legs
too.
Are real
strong.
My arms are fucking, they can only hold up maybe like 180, dog. I'm 300. It's like a stilt fucking any minute. It's like one of those stilts in Apocalypse Now before they get hit with a missile. The reason why we're here today, to be honest with you, my man Jerry LaRocca, my main fucking brother, one of the guys that I've been running with for 12 years because he's written jokes for me, he makes me laugh. Thanks, he's putting out a fucking CD on iTunes. Listen, he wanted me to play a track. I ain't doing that shit. You know, that's pressure. When they play a track and me and Lee got to laugh, that's too much fucking pressure. We love you too much. I tell you what, you guys know me a fucking long time. I wouldn't put somebody in this chair. I just don't put anybody in here. When it comes to health or anything I do, this is my brother. Go to fucking iTunes.
I'm on it.
Pre-order. What's the name of the thing?
It's called Take That, Real Dad.
Take That, Real Dad. I don't know. It's an ode to his father, you know. Now I got to start this shit. Sure.
Yeah, so my girlfriend designed the cover. It's just Jerry Rocha, R-O-C-H-A, Take That.
Look at the back. It looks like Bruce Springsteen's. Confident on the edge of town. Look at him.
That does look like we're in
he
the
makes believe,
shirt.
Like, I didn't know. They planned that shit. His wife. That's his favorite band, Bruce Springsteen.
You got to give him a try. I mean, just give Springsteen.
Bro, stop it. I listened to that first album 20,000 times. It's the shit laying in. It's how he acts on stage that irritates me. He always shows up with that Nazi haircut now.
Yeah.
And he's fucking a Jew. And he shows, I hate when they show up with the Nazi haircut now and the glasses, like the old man grandpa glasses, like that fake look, like it's been set up, contrived. Right. I don't like that shit. It makes me look, but 10th Avenue Freeze-Out is still a fucking monster.
Dog,
there's some monsters. There's some fucking monsters.
And for everyone who doesn't like iTunes for whatever reason, you can go to standuprecords.com and say,
yeah, standuprecords.com.
This is my main man.
Yep. Thank you,
Jerry's got some fucking jokes that have killed me. The fucking magician in Texas that they thought was a healer or whatever. The fucking Mexican at the Christmas thing. He's got some great stuff. Man.
We went to your daughter's baptism. We got there early, and I was dying because we went in and watched like the service before and like the Stations of the Cross. You just kept like pointing at things. You're like, see that one? That's what they did to him.
Yeah, like that's what they fucked
that's
him up
what the
real
Jews
good
did to
right
him.
There. That's what you. I was like, I was asking Lee if he felt proud. Like, look what your guys did. Look at this shit. Look at what they did to this guy. You people must be proud. And then I got you on the one when we went to the little side chapel. And you're like, what's your, this is where they film all the nuns fucking each other.
Oh, yeah.
The porn. And you're like, really? They do? I was like, no.
We're in the valley. I don't know. He comes up. He's like, you know, they film porn in this church. I'm like,
this is where they film all the nun fucking porn is in here.
Give it up, cocksuckers. You're both going to go to hell. Talking about the church that way. You can talk about whatever. You're Jewish. It don't matter.
I'm already going to hell.
Me. I got to work on this.
You ain't going to hell yet until you smell a fucking fart blow into your fucking one nostril. And what I'm thinking of doing for the pay-per-view special is taping your one nose and putting like a tube. So it just goes. I talked to this doctor.
How are you going
to
get it into a tube?
I talked to a doctor. And he has a special system.
He didn't get into a dog. What fart doctor?
Please, you know how many emails I've been getting? People... Listen,
but
what
kind of doctor is a fart tube apparatus?
You know how people have the puke bags?
Yeah,
they shoot the same thing. He's going to tap into her urinal, fucking the whole thing. He's not even going to let it go through the asshole and lose the power. He's going to tap right into to the heart of the fucking matter. You understand me? Where the molecular freak sits with the 20 pounds of cheeseburger.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Close That's to awesome. Your ass. You ever watch Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah.
In the beginning, he's talking about the car that most people walk around with 15 pounds of Ugats right close to their asshole. Touch your asshole at night. That meat that just sits there until you die. And it squirts out of your ass and says something kicks you in the stomach.
And what is he going to do? He's going to
tap into that. That's where the real funk of the patois is. We're going to connect the tube so it goes right into your one nostril. Then we're going to put like a snorkel on your other fucking mouth. It's going to be tremendously. I'm taking care. I'm looking out for you. You're going to make 20 million. 20 mil before this thing is over.
I remember Joey does take care of his loved ones. He did that.
Come on,
Doug. The first weekend we met in El Paso, I remember I drove. I left. We had lunch, Chinese buffet, and I took you back to the condo. And then I drove to a comic book store. And I immediately, they just come out with these brand new action figures. I bought all the money I'd saved for the trip. I was like, fuck it. I'm getting Thor. I'm getting Iron Man. I'm getting, and then from that was it. I come home. I was like, man, I hope Joey's in this room or asleep. I walk in. He's right there in the living room. And I just have all these fucking toys. Oh, it was great. And then from then on, you call me the Green Lantern. I loved it.
This guy's the kiss of death. He's a man. He fucks bitches, too. He fucks bitches in the weirdest way because he's a geeky looking dude. He's got the glasses. He don't get high. He talks about fucking Iron Man 3 and shit. And he gets these girls back to his place to look at figurines. When you can talk a girl to go back into your room to look at a figurine with no drugs, that's strength right there.
Well, thank you.
A figurine. Like, Really? You want me to come back and look at the figurine? When they get back, there ain't no figurine. It's this fucking nerd dick. He pulls out the fucking...
You know what? You know what the secret is? They're all into it.
It's
the
amazing.
Secret is the minute they get into the... Then they're like, ooh, look at that. They get into it.
Is it's like amazing. The 40-year-old virgin room?
Was yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
He's the Velvet Hammer. This guy's a fucking sap. I got to give some shout-outs. Hold on. My main man, Art Louth. Cleo, I love you. I've been watching you, sexy motherfucker. Bruno B. Gray. Keith Miller. Uncle Peter. Sammy Coyler. Aaron Acola, Dead Squad, Harlem. I'll see you motherfuckers September 13th and 14th at Gotham Comedy Club, you badass motherfuckers. Dead Squad all over. NorCal, I've been watching you. Dead Squad News. Dead Squad fucking Columbia. Dead Squad. All of you Dead Squadders, I love you. Thank you for all the love and support. Lee, where you been?
I've been doing.
You don't write.
You call me every 3 hours.
You got a new fucking job yet? How many interviews you go for? Listen to this, people. For all you motherfuckers that are sitting there, I can't find the job. Lee, how many interviews you got?
It's been seven straight.
Interviews, man. You fucking mooks.
I got a call while we were here, but it's. I went somewhere yesterday, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it. It's because you've talked about it before, how like with certain movies or clubs they try to lowball you.
Right.
I went to an interview yesterday,
don't
and
say the name.
I won't.
You might
yeah,
be
yeah.
doing business. You know how that goes.
I wouldn't do that. But
you know you're a fucking savage.
They come at like they want the most for the least. They were trying to have me do two separate jobs, be there for 16 hours a day, which I wouldn't mind doing. But they're like it's almost no money. It's like it would work out to like minimum wage. And I was thinking that it got me angry. And like I've been here for 2.5 years, so now I'm at the point where I don't need to take every job that's offered to me. And it's a weird, like, how do you guys deal with it? Because like you probably get offers, and you're like, this is like it's not even worth the time. It's kind of insulting. Like it pissed me off last night.
You know what? Do you mind if I jump in first?
Hit it, all right.
This happened to me recently. I'm not gonna, of course, won't name names, but I had met with a couple of people who wanted to represent me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I just learned this. They can't know that you need it. You know what I mean? If that makes sense, because then they're gonna start doing this.
It's the same with the girl, I guess.
Yeah, they can't know that you need it. It is. It's like, and I remember, I fell for it all. I'm like, oh great, they're gonna do X, Y, and Z for me. Awesome. And I would just jump, and then I realized after, it's like, fuck no, none of that's gonna happen. And the problem is, they can't know that you need it. And then you know, like they just. It's not worth it. I don't think that's... If it's going to come out to minimum wage, you're working 16 hours a day. I think the biggest red flag is you said you don't mind doing that. Fuck that. You should let them know that you mind doing that.
Well,
I'm going to do a good job for you within 8 hours. And you better give me... You know, you kind of have to...
Like, I worked at a place that wouldn't pay overtime. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
if you don't pay overtime? Like,
I think that's... I think that it's one of those weird things where it's like... You know, does that make sense? Like, you can't let them know that you actually need it, that you're desperate, not that you're desperate, you know what I mean? But, like,
yeah.
You have to play it like, fuck this. You should be, I'm the talent here. You guys aren't going to find someone who's as good as me.
And the guy who interviewed me, I had worked with at a different show. He was a PA there, and he's a coordinator now.
Right.
And that basically means he's scheduling. It's a nothing job. But he said to me, he's like, because the job was a staff, and I'm a freelance. He's like, well, they pay more for freelance because they're going to be unemployed. And I wanted to laugh at him, but it was an interview. I'm like, you can't... They pay us what we're worth. Like, you can't you can't say, well, we're going to pay you less because it's a full-time job. Like, it upset me when I was thinking about it, and you guys must deal with it all the time because I have to look for a job every couple months. You guys are looking for jobs every single weekend.
Every night we're trying to have somebody... But it's tough, man. It's you know, companies are getting so fucking greedy now, like with the, because they're getting desperate too themselves. That's nobody hires full time employees anymore. It's all fucking part timers, so they don't have to pay medical benefits. They don't have to pay them unemployment. None of that shit.
Yeah,
everyone's just all part time. And so of course they would love you saying, hey, I'll work 16 hours a day and do 3 different jobs if you pay me minimum wage.
Yeah,
that's like a fucking fuck that, dude.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't like it. What do you think, Joey?
Me? I don't fucking know. I don't... as a comic, you gotta take jobs sometimes.
Yeah. You sometimes have to eat the bullet.
Sometimes you gotta eat the fucking bullet. But sometimes you gotta sit there and go... You get to a level one day, you say, I'm not gonna fucking do this no more.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't do it, and you move on with your life. And I think you're seeing it for what it is. You're not... You know, they expect a lot of people to go, this is a big company. I'll do this and sell my soul for 16 fucking hours a day.
Yeah.
And not have a life, you know.
Yeah. That when I first started, someone, my boss at a different job, asked me to stay late and help her, but she couldn't pay me. Like, not even not pay overtime. She just wouldn't pay me. And this guy in a different department pulled me aside. He said, "No one's here doing it for free." And so, like, even now, when people are like, "Oh, you could stay late and finish that," I'm like, "Well, I'm not doing this for free." And it's something, yeah. When you're young, it's something you, like, I'm just now starting to understand is you can't always say yes. It makes you have to say no sometimes.
You have to. No, I mean, it's just the trick of it all, I think, is figuring out which ones to say yes to that you shouldn't say yes to that you need to, and which ones to say no to. And you have to find that because you just, it's a tough fucking trick, but you got to figure out which one to say yes to, what to say no to. But I think you're right. You shouldn't say yes to everything because then, it's just, then it's like that whole, they're just going to think you can do it all the time and they're just going to expect it out of you. And it's, they're like expecting you to let them fuck you. Is what it is. It's like, oh, he's fine. He won't bitch about it.
Because you're turning down even auditions. You're turning down interviews, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I see the value compared to what's going to happen. You know, if it's a TV show or something that's going for sure, I don't mind showing up down there. But if you're going to give me the low-end fucking SAG for me to fly out and be away from my family, I can't do a podcast, to take me out of this normal routine, you got to pay me a certain amount of money. 10 years ago, I would have, this last offer I had was to go to fucking Utah, for a week. I'm going to go to Utah with my family. I mean, the lady got to come full week. At the end, they want to give you 3 bills a day and a point on a movie. Movie ain't going nowhere. Movie ain't going nowhere. You know the movie's going? Write the fucking, some fucking Ugat's thing that, anyway, why get into it? But that's what's going to happen. I've done 1,000 of these. We discussed this on here. SAG has done this thing now where, when I got here, everybody paid scale. And from time to time, you did a movie for $466. Okay, not bad. I could live with that. But then all of a sudden, $258. And that's not bad either. $258, 3 days, They give you a wardrobe, you eat, you talk to fucking Lee for 3 days.
Yeah.
You get to work with Jerry, But then they start doing these $100 a days. And that's not bad enough. They start doing $50 a day.
They do $50 a day movies?
$50 a day. Ultra low budget.
Jesus.
Wow.
Now I did a bunch of deferreds. When I first moved here, guys, I'm not kidding you motherfuckers. I did 15 deferred movies. And nobody knows that. Nobody knows that because the movies went nowhere.
What does deferred mean?
Deferred means they don't give you guts until they sell it.
Oh, shit. And then
they fucking pay you. Not one of those movies I shot in dark alleys and fucking downtown LA. I had to use my car, my own suits. There was one movie I did with a Japanese crew. We went to the people's houses, was in their living room, the premiere. When they put it was their feet. It was fucking, they shot more of the fucking feet than anything. These directors that come from a Japanese school where they had like a foot fetish. Every scene went from Lee to you to the fucking feet. I did all those things. I'm in my shot of, there's a kid I still talk to, Lenny Citrano. Very interesting story. One of the first movies I did in this town was with Lenny. These people, Lee, you guys would have thought it was, who did The Godfather, who did Goodfellas? Who was the director of Goodfellas?
Scorsese.
Yeah.
You thought these people were Scorsese. All right. It was about a guy, an English guy that was a philanthropist, but he did different things. And the episode always started at the bar, and it was him telling the story. And then they would play it out like this has never been done before. And this episode, we were bookmakers. I had no lines, no fucking lines. I went to beat up this bookmaker. And I forget who he is now. He's like a known actor at the time because my buddy Lenny Citrano was the other idiot. We rehearsed for free for a week. From midnight to 8 in the fucking morning. I would go to the store, do a set, get a gram of blow, and we'd go right up the hill to Hollywood Hills there, and we would do it with these porno girls. And it was fucking horrendous. It was horrendous. And these people were blowing smoke up our ass. If we don't sell it to CBS or NBC, BBC has already made an offer. Just
guys. All bullshit.
It was all bullshit. But I became friends with Lenny Citrano, who is a great actor, and he taught me a lot. He's been here for a long fucking time. Lenny Citrano's on Facebook. He's a musician. But I'm going to tell you motherfuckers what a badass he is. I went to an audition in September, the end of September one time. You walk into something, there's things that when you walk into this town, when you walk into, you know it's you.
Oh, really?
You just know. You get one of those a year. And I get one of those a year because I put the work in, so the good Lord, or who's ever, Hindu, Jesus, Jesua, throws me a little handout. I walk into this fucking commercial, and it's a cable network.
Okay.
But they wanted six mafia guys. Six. So right away, my stock goes right. The chances...
The odds go shoot up.
Shoot up. They want six guys. Mm-hmm. They want funny people. So I went in there, laid it down. It was like at the end of September. The callback was in November. Like it was one of, it was Comcast. It was Comcast. Okay? Boom. October, November came. They called us all in. They was, the callback was supposed to be like on the 24th. Mm. It was on the 17th. I'll never forget this. We did it a week before Thanksgiving. We're sitting there. You know, we get there at 6 in the morning. We're in costume.
Yeah.
Comcast is doing surveys. And it's with mobsters. And it's a funny concept. You know what I'm saying? And they're doing like, you know, transvestites. And they're doing like, you know, this thing. So what do you think about cable and systems? And it's fucking great. But in the middle of this audition, this guy goes, bro, I found this lump. I've known Lenny for, you know, at this point, I've known Lenny for 8 years. Sure. And he goes, they found this fucking thing. And I got to call the doctor for the results. And he calls the doctor at lunchtime. He's got cancer.
Oh, God.
Do you think this motherfucker cries or taps out? Like, he tells me and my knees buckle. Like, right then and there, I'd call a timeout. Like, taking a Comcast commercial and shoving up your mother's ass. This guy shot the next 8 hours with tears in his eyes. You know, confused, thinking. It was just him and I who knew.
Wow.
He shot the commercial and I kept in touch with him. You know, I drove up to his house a few times and we're still fucking friends till this day.
That's great.
That's and crazy.
It's amazing. He lived.
He's doing okay.
He caught it. It was a little lump on his
breast. Oh, great.
Male, whatever, cancer. Knock on fucking wood.
Do you want another one?
No, I'm good. I'm straight.
That's crazy.
Did you catch that too before a couple minutes ago?
What?
You caught something was going on with me before.
No.
I was getting a panic attack.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah. I can't breathe.
Oh, no, I just thought, I thought the drunk was
I'm
out.
I'm going to a psychiatrist on Saturday. I'm waiting for the call. That's why the phone's right here.
When, you nervous about this? You ever been to a shrink before?
No.
Are you thinking like, I don't even want to know what they're going to pull
friend,
out of me?
Or I told the doctor, a friend of mine, and he called me. He, as I was telling him, he goes, bro, this happens. What's going on? I told him what happens. And he goes, oh, I know what this is. I know a lady that could probably solve it in 2 visits.
Hey.
So I said, get around this stick. It's probably going to be $8,000-$9,000 an hour.
Sure.
But it's worse than living with this.
Dude, absolutely. I
can't breathe and it takes off.
Now, you've had, it sounds weird, but you've had a lot of fucked up stuff has happened to you. Are you worried, what if you go in there and you start sobbing and are you worried about that at all?
That's a place to do it,
though.
It's a place where
I sob on the podcast.
Well, no, yeah. I know, but
I've cried on the podcast.
I've heard comics say they don't want to what if they get on the thing that makes them funny goes away, or you don't think about that at all?
I think it's okay, so a confession booth is for your soul. I think this is a confession booth for your, you know, for, you know what I mean?
I looked it up. I looked up what I was getting, and it said that. The first thing it said was, this happens in deep, deep sexual abuse. And I know for a fact I was sexually fucking abused. So, because I've thought about it. Just you think about it. You gotta think about it. Nobody fingered me. What the fuck?
Right? Yeah.
What am I, the ugly fucking chick at the dance? Nobody ever fondled my nuts. What the fuck? So no, I don't think. My mom. You know, if you see the pictures of me and my mom after my father died, they told me, people were like, you know, you lived in that back room when you were a kid. She kept you back there till 3. She took you home. She took you to eat. And all those pictures, me with her. I remember this one picture that, you know, nobody ever see. And it's Tito Puente at my mother's bar.
Yeah.
1968.
Wow.
Dressed up with some other fucking black musicians.
In his fucking peak, dude.
My mom is on stage at the Maracas, and I'm a baby. Like, mercy. Like, I'm fucking crawling with a sock off. You see me, and my mother always used to have that in her room. She says, that was you at 2 in the morning. So you're always, she used to always say, you're going to be a night owl.
Yeah.
Because you were raised. There you are. That was 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
That was 2. You had a missing sock. You were laying it down, motherfucker.
With Tito fucking Puente.
With Tito Puente in fucking northern New Jersey. You
know what I'm saying? That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So, but you are, how long have the panic things have been happening?
Is this your whole life?
Since I had my ear infection.
Remember really?
When I got my ear infection. That's
long?
When they started, about 5 months ago. First time I had my ear infection, I went to work out at Muay Thai America, and it was like having ADD in your ear. Everything was very scattered. That blows your fucking mind. And every time my lung would go up and I just go into a simple, I would have to run outside. That's not normal.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I joined jiu-jitsu was because of the little panic attacks I get at Muay Thai America sometimes. I'm not one. I don't like taking energy drinks and all that shit. I think that shit gives me more panic attacks.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's full. You don't need that shit. That's full of weird shit. Nobody should be. Yeah.
So now when I go to jiu-jitsu, I get it so bad that I got to pop up, take my belt off, take my gi off the top, and go pee. Wow. And it's this pee that smells like fear and death. And it smells like one of Clint Eastwood's victims.
It smells like Lee Van Cleef.
I know you're not going to stop, but sometimes, like, I don't really ever get panic attacks a couple times, but sometimes when I do, it's because I had edibles. And you fucking eat more edibles than anyone I've ever seen.
That's why I've been eating the edibles. Now, you know, I mean, I love the Chiba Chews. I love the fucking Anthony Dolores, and I love the other ones. But I gotta tell you what, it's raising the stake. I think. I hope not. I hope it's just a casket that's blown within me. You know, I looked at it said that maybe like a new addition to the family, shit like that, mm-hmm. getting married, quick changes. You know, or I'm fucking 50 and I got bad fucking lungs, and we'll find out Friday at 11. I already got everything covered. I'm going to a lung doctor at 11 Friday. I'm going to a heart doctor.
All bases.
Next Wednesday at 11. I don't fuck around, though. You know, I'll tell
you
enjoy.
You know, my girlfriend's been suffering from anxiety her whole life. She gets panic attacks. And I've never, I was just like, oh, come on, you'll be fine. She's like, you don't understand.
Does she turn pale and shit?
Yeah, she goes, you don't understand what a panic attack is. You feel like you can't breathe, like you're going to die because you can't. It's scary.
Yeah, it's scary.
To suddenly not be able to take in oxygen is a real scary fucking thing. It just feels like there's no air and you're just like, and she.
I really thought, I had to take my earphones off.
Oh, that's what, okay.
That's why. I just thought, I thought I had to run outside and go to 7-Eleven and get nose drops.
Okay, I don't think I've never not been able to breathe, but every once in a while things like speed up and slow down, kind of like, so it feels like my heart's racing and it feels like everything's going really fast, but it also feels like I see everything in slow motion. Is that something that you go through, like, or is that something else that I'm doing that's fucking weird?
Well, you're fucked up.
I'd have to be doing this at 6 a.m.
Keep it up, cocksucker.
That's some scary shit, man. That is some fucking frightening things that you have to deal with, and it's weird. I mean, it's social anxiety is weird. That's where my girlfriend gets it from, social stuff. Anxiety is weird, but all kinds of anxiety, it just fucks with your brain. It's scary. I mean, I don't know. I've never. You ever been to a psychiatrist lately?
No, my mom. When my parents got divorced, my mom really wanted me to, and I just right. I didn't feel like I needed it, and I don't know. I don't have anything against it.
Right.
But I just, at that point, I didn't feel like I needed it.
Sure.
But, Joe, like, it feels like you probably, when you were younger, you probably wouldn't have gone to a therapist, would you? Like, it seems like you probably didn't go to the doctor for a while. Like, you just, like, you're too busy doing other stuff.
When I went to, when I got locked up, they always send you to, you know.
They have the in-house guy, don't they?
The in-house guy, that. To me, it was always a joke. And then when I went to the halfway house, I failed. I wasn't even doing blow. This is how weird karma works. I wasn't even doing blow, but I was making good money. When I was in the half, I was calling BCTC 2 days ago to see if I could get a hold of the security guy to see what the chances are of me going in there and just doing a talk there and putting it in a special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not taping it there necessarily, but just doing the talk there. I mean, BCTC is right across the street from where the guy lived, where I kidnapped.
And that's
all you do is like this. So let's say that's BCTC, you go like this. Boom! Right across Canyon Boulevard.
And that's a prison, right?
90 degrees.
No, that's the halfway house.
Turn your face 90 degrees, you know, and you're there.
And you're right there. That halfway house, I've always felt like a hypocrite. Because I never really did straight time. I fucking floated through there like a thief in the night.
Yeah, wasn't that positive test because you were selling it to other people?
Selling it. I was selling coke. I remember one day having a half ounce of blow in this, top bunk.
Wow.
All right, and I was weighing it on a scale, and I heard the lady come in, and I took it, and I was trying to close it. And if you've ever done blow, when you try to close a package, sometimes it stiffens up, and all the coke rocks fly in the air.
Wow.
And I closed it and put it under the bed, and she came in, and she goes, what's all those white things? And I go, the fucking ceiling. That was the first time I used that line.
Wow.
And she goes, yes, it is. Jesus, we got to get somebody up here.
That's quick thinking, by the way.
I fucking didn't know. I did it on a plane one time. A Coke rock fell out of my nose on a, in the old days, there used to be bars in airplanes. You could get up and mingle. It's not like a flight now that people came and they brought you a drink. In the old days, right by the exit door, there was no seats there. That was a bar.
That's crazy.
That was a bar. So there would be like a little chick sitting there all night with a bar, no stools. But you could stretch out your leg for 10 minutes and you have to go back. And one time I was doing powder in that fucking bathroom like a savage. I'm snorting this shit like it's going on. And I come out and this, and it was, I'll never forget, it was the bar, but there was a napkin on top of it, like a black napkin.
Sure.
And I remember, I told this on a testicle testament, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so.
And the Coke rock fell out and I fucking looked up. The guy looked at the Coke rock and looked at me. And I just fucking looked up.
So you just walked around with it in your nose?
No, it fell out of my
fucking nose. You didn't realize it was in your nose,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes it goes up and it comes back down. You always have the rings, but sometimes the Coke rock doesn't go out. Like, I was such a savage. Like, there was nights I would just, with my finger, I would wet a Coke rock and just put it in my fucking nose and leave it in there, massage it in there till the fucking Coke rock melted. And I do the other
thing. Vaporized it.
I swear to God. I just lick my finger and get a Coke rock and just stick it in my fucking finger until my eyeball would cross a little bit. Oh, and then I do the other fucking side and ba-boom, I was all over like the fucking shot.
Jesus, I think, Christ. We talked about this a little bit because it's weird how much, like, how little and how much we have in common about both of us never having, like, you know, my real father, I've never met him. You know, my mom had a boyfriend. Her whole life, bless you. My mom had a boyfriend her whole life that was like my dad, and he was my father, not my biological, because I never fucking met him. You know what I mean? And he was my fucking dad always. And I mean, just like, not to be your psychiatrist right now, but are you maybe worried about being a parent? Could that be caught like a little bit?
No. You know what, guys? Listen, let's fucking get something straight. Since day one, I'm wound up tighter than most people. That's number one. I'm wound up tight. That's 60% of the fucking problem. When I go talk to this lady, it's to unwound that tightness.
Yeah.
To find that I have fears like everybody else. You all have fears. How the fuck don't you have fears that they can raise the rent? You're out in the street and you got $840 and you're checking
every fucking day.
That's all you have.
Yeah.
That's, and people have to know that. You know, they see us on a podcast or whatever. They think that we're flying, that there's millions coming out of the sky. You know, I got a wife and a kid. We live in a fucking home, and you got to come up with bills every month. And I got to get a new car now. You know, the lease is over. I mean, every month is a new fucking adventure. We all fucking bleed when we get cut. And we're all in this together. I never want people to think, so we have natural fears. You have natural fears. What if, you know, hey, listen, man. My mother always raised me prepared if she died. Did I know it then? No. I had no idea. I know it now. I knew 3 years later when I was doing my own laundry what she meant. I knew it 3 years later when I was cooking my own eggs, when I was calling the airlines for my own plane ticket, when I was paying my own bills. You know, when I was 10, my mother would make me walk and pay the phone bill and pay the electric bill. And even if she had money in cabs, that was my job. I had to go pay this shit. It's not like it is now that you write a check and, here, go mail this. Fuck no.
I do it online.
Yeah.
You had to walk. You had to walk.
You had to walk.
To like a store?
Huh?
To like a store?
Yeah. You had to walk to a building that sold phones. You had to walk to AT&T, and they had a window where you went and told them your number, 201-863-63 or whatever, and then you're $34.98, and you give them the $34 cash. So you had to walk there knowing you had the 30 in your pocket. That kids could fucking take it from you. And you had to tiptoe through a bad neighbor in Union City. And God forbid you had to pay the mortgage. My mother used to make me send me the mortgage. The mortgage was on 57th and Bergen Line. That's a three-hour walk or a fucking bus ride.
And you're a target because you literally have
600 cash
in on you, dude. Like, one bad slip.
There was no checks in those
one slip up, it's all gone.
So it's a different thing. Like, it felt like she was preparing me. So in the same way, I look at this six-month-old daughter, and I'm like, I gotta, you know, I can't have panic attacks with this kid around. What if she cuts herself in a finger and starts bleeding and I faint? I do that shit all the time on my own.
Do you think you're probably just psyching yourself up then?
All the time.
Well, that's crazy.
But see, I think that's what panic is. You've psyched yourself up to a magnitude that you can't reason yourself down
from. The
reason
why I don't stay in Vegas or anywhere to see Anderson Silva fights is because I like him personally. To meet Anderson Silva is to really understand Anderson Silva. He's a comedian. He's an entertainer that ended up a fighter. I'm a thief that ended up a comedian. So I understand the journey, but I understand the same things in their patois. And that's what you understand about people. If you really look at a criminal and what his job is, then you understand the comic. Lenny Bruce was a cunt hair from being a criminal. Richard Pryor blew himself up with fucking, you're in the cunt hair of danger always.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What was I talking about?
Though you, we had a great line about you know, to bring it to MMA from because of you, like I'm just getting into the sport, you know, and a lot of people are like happy that he got beat, like fuck him, he's always been disrespecting his opponents. I don't think they understand he's not disrespecting his opponent. He's playing a game.
That was a game.
That he is. Playing, it, he's putting on a show.
If you live by the sword, you fucking die by the sword.
You kind of have to be. I mean, it's probably the same for you guys. If you don't have the confidence. Then you're gonna get beaten. So like, if you guys don't have confidence to go on stage, like if a heckler beats you, like you have to yell at a heckler. But every time, once in a while, they're gonna say they're gonna have a line or something. But like, it just seems like, I mean, yeah, it was kind of, it's stupid. I mean, to put your hands down, but he has to have the confidence that he's the number one guy.
That, and also I think he literally was putting on a show. He was. I mean, I think it's like those kind of dudes. It's like. Anderson, I mean, I know obviously this is a real sport and guys are getting fucked up and stuff like that. Like, it's not, the outcomes aren't determined like pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But they know how to work that audience too. And he knows how to piss off a crowd. To him, I bet when the crowds get all pissed when he does that, that's laughter. In his eyes, that's, I'm doing my job because not only am I good at what I'm doing, but I've also made this a spectator sport into where, you know, if MMA, if it were just, him and that guy in a ring with no audience and just a judge, he would fuck that dude up in 5 seconds. But instead, since there's a crowd and people are paying money to watch this, he's putting on a show. It's the same thing that fucking dude everybody hates, Mayweather. He does the same shit. When you hit, when Mayweather gets punched, he'll smile at the guy who just hit him. Like, that was funny. You tried to hurt me. And he's not doing it.
Mayweather is, that is a great analogy because you can't tell me that you watch 24/7. I watch it every time.
Dude, he's a comic.
He's a fucking. You
he's a stand-up comedian on stage.
He doesn't give a fuck. Have you ever watched that lately?
I've seen him on Twitter. It's the other guy is like Chael Sonnen. I love Chael, and he's losing fights. He shouldn't be having all these great fights, but he's a great promoter. I love Chael.
Well, that's it. You need that guy. It's like those guys that are just
nothing compared to Floyd
Mayweather. No, dude, Mayweather nothing. Is.
Have you seen his? Nothing. Have you seen his Twitter? He'll post pictures of him betting like $800,000 on the Heat game.
Oh, more. Floyd Mayweather, he loves the fact that he's pissing off all these white people. He fucking loves it. He
pisses off black people.
Yes, he pisses off everybody.
You ever watch him when he makes black people wait for him?
Oh, it's hilarious. What do you mean? Fuck, watch 24/7, dude. Watch 24/7. It is fucking...
Hours. He trains at night. So he'll go, Lee, get to the fucking stadium. Get to 7-Eleven in Curacao. We're going to box. And you're like, it's fucking 11:30 at night. What are you, fucking crazy? I'm already in bed. They don't give a fuck. You want to get paid, you better get down
there. Yeah.
He tells you 11, he doesn't show up till 2.
And he expects you to wait?
Yeah. Oh, you're sitting outside.
You're gonna wait.
The fucking gorillas. Yeah. You're gonna wait.
Jesus.
But see, that's the thing. What people don't understand is they are playing to the crowd. When that, again, if boxing, if MMA, I fully believe this, if it were just like little kids' karate tournaments, even to a lesser extent, where it's just a judge and the two fighters and nobody else. Mayweather wouldn't even toy with anybody. He would win every fight in the first two rounds. You know what I mean? And then Anderson Silva, are you kidding me? Would any of his fights go longer than 5 minutes if there was no crowd?
They're doing a rematch.
Oh, yeah, of course.
December 29th. I will be in Miami. I've already booked for the Christmas after Miami, so I'm leaving Christmas Eve for Miami.
Oh, I was surprised. I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, I've been to a sports bar to watch Boston sports, and they cheer because everyone's a fan of Boston.
Right.
But I went there, and just when he walked out, I wasn't even in the restaurant. I was busy, so I was out in the patio. Right. The patio erupted when he went out. They didn't clap for anyone else the entire night. When he just started walking out, the patio erupted. Like, I'm like, it's like a street in Hollywood. I'm like, what the?
They love to hate that guy, but it's stupid because I think what he's doing is fucking brilliant. I think it's a huge move on it to purposely annoy people like that is genius. And then, because nobody would give a fuck about him if
in the opening, if it was like Mike Tyson, where after the first two punches, he's killed the guy and nobody's left, eventually it gets old. It gets boring. And it's like, why are we going to watch this?
Yeah.
So they want to watch him so they can get mad and be like, and he knows that. And he's he plays it up. I think he's fucking brilliant at it. Mayweather's fucking brilliant at it. And the only difference was Mayweather hasn't been caught being cute. Like, Silva was caught putting on the show. They caught. And you know what, Joe, when I saw you earlier today, I thought, you know, in the rematch, Silva's just going to kill the guy in 5 seconds. He's probably not. He's probably going to toy with him again. He's going to do the same shit just to piss everybody off again. And then he's, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just said, no, I didn't need to learn a lesson. Because it was like, oh, he's learned his lesson. There was no lesson he needed to learn. He know you're going to teach him something about fighting. No fucking way. He knows everything. There's no lesson for him to learn.
Straight.
Yeah, there's no lesson for him to learn.
17 fucking straight.
He's just going to toy with people again. That's what he does.
He's been a champion for 7 years, right?
9, I think, Joey. 9 is something insane like that. Where it's just, if you...
That's amazing.
And if you really think about it, imagine...
And a fucking slew of opponents.
It's not like they fight once every 3 years. That dude goes out there, is he at least twice a year almost?
But once they found the niche, once they found that you could take him down, that was the game. That was, everybody said, fuck it, that's the new game in town.
When Chael was on top of him?
When everybody said, well, let's take him down. Now we figured out how to beat him. Chael showed the world how to beat him. Take him down, take him off his game. If a guy can't kick you, hit you, he can't beat you.
Right.
Can't beat me if you're on the floor. So Chael showed the world. So now they all had a plan. That plan, Anderson knew that they had a plan also. It's different. Now he got hit. Now what happens to your jaw? Now do you become Chuck Liddell every time you get tapped? Do you sneeze? Do you knock yourself out when you sneeze? Because now your jaw is a target for everybody. Everybody knows that's priority number one. I'm going to kick you in the leg and come right over with the fucking overhead right and crack you in that fucking side again. Or fake that overhand and come up with the hook. I think he knocked him out with the hook.
Yeah.
It was almost like a baby hook.
A baby hook.
Not that one loss is going to mean a comeback, but like, you know how sometimes like when either actors go down or even like a big sports team goes down and they come back and they're even bigger?
Bitch, did you not watch Rocky? They made 4 fucking movies out of a lost cocksucker. Who do you think you're dealing with here? Some novice? This is the beginning of a war. This is war. Remember Scarface at the end? This is war. The guy's like, what the fuck's he talking about?
How pissed do you think Vegas was? Like, how much money do you think Vegas lost?
Well, I read today somebody made $1 million bet.
Wow.
On Weidman?
I think on Weidman. I didn't read the whole article. It was a move. So somebody's suspicious. There's shit going on. Let's see what happens. What do you got this weekend, Cocklicker?
This weekend, I got a...
Where you going? Where are you taking your little girlfriend?
We're just going to... She's going to law school, so it's her first week of a pre-class. So we're just going to stay here because she's there like
you're
7 in the morning
gonna,
to 7 at night.
Bring her back to the Shea Syatt.
Shea Syatt, you know. Oh,
the place smells good.
It smells great. Because
of all this weed and stuff, I put... There's a air freshener in every room because I spent like 5 hours cleaning before she came last weekend because it was dirty. But
it smells great, buddy. Did you clean the toilet? You take the little Jew hairs off the toilet?
He called me up before she came over. He's like, all right, you got it there for 3 days. You should be able to collect at least 6 pubic hairs. You keep a little piece of paper by your bed. You just lick it, and you stick it to the paper. I want to see the paper when I come over Monday morning.
That's awesome.
You think he did it? You think he saved it?
No, she shaved.
So she's got to have 3 or 4 little leftover pubes in her asshole.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not taking...
Listen, when you finger bang their ass on the way out, take one of those hairs. It's all the same move. You take that little fucking hair to go, ba-bing.
Then you make ba-bing. Make a wish on it like an eyelash. You make a wish off it like an eyelash.
You gotta take the stick out of your ass, guys.
I love Joey's sex tips, man. The best.
Hey, listen, sex tips. Talk to these people. Let them know when this fucking savage of an album is coming out.
This thing is going to come out on July 16th on iTunes, Stand Up Records. You can pre-order it now, though. If you just hop on iTunes right now, just type in my name, Jerry Rocha, Take That Real Dad. It'll come up. It looks like an old book. That's the cover that my girlfriend designed. And that's an old red. It's a good red. And it's right there on iTunes. Man, please pick it up. I would love it. It's got the uncle joke on it. We were talking about Greyhound. It's got the one where that story where it really happened. I was on the Greyhound with the dude. And yeah, I kick it off with that one with the Greyhound story.
Yeah, happy dog. Everything all right?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, my back has been so much better. I want to say what I've been doing, but I don't want to give him any more ammunition to get me, but I'm going to do it. I've been throwing frisbee golf.
Fucking golf.
I've been playing this.
By himself. By himself? No, smoke pot. He's out there by himself. So if you people think he got problems, this fucking mook goes out to the park by himself and plays frisbee. Wait till two Mexicans come by with a stick one day and having a good time. He's going to call me. I got mugged in Brooklyn and in L.A.
playing frisbee golf.
I called him last night. He's eating chicken with spinach and goat cheese.
Yep.
I go, where do you, you're Mexican. Mexicans don't fucking eat goat cheese. It's disgusting.
My girlfriend, dude, she's got me on all this.
He rolls it up in a wheat pita. I almost went over there and stabbed him with a Mexican fucking with a fucking taco from Taco Bell.
Oh, shit.
All right, so get the fucking CD on
iTunes. Thank you, guys.
Do yourself the favor. This kid's talented. I love this kid.
I love
this kid. He's one of those kids that you sit there and go, when? All right, I can see me. I'm dirty. I can see this guy's crazy, but when? When is the network going to give this kid fucking $100,000? And his own show and give him a CD. When? When? What are you waiting for? Every week you put some worthless motherfucker on your network that's fake. This kid's the real fucking deal. Jerry LaRocha. Facebook, Twitter, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Thanks, you know, man. What's in your asshole. What's your fucking problem, cocksucker?
Nothing.
Don't make me go over there and stab you with this vapor pen in the asshole and shit.
Why?
You got me in the fucking mood.
I'm like 1 week away from convinced you're doing, like, you're talking about sexual stuff. Every fucking, you just even put a vapor pen on my asshole. Like, what are
you
talking
about? Not this vapor pen, the fucking one with THC, cocksucker. I want Jenny Friedman to fucking, I want you to sniff her fucking.
Who's Jenny Friedman?
Some Jew with a hot, tight ass.
You know, can I give Lee quick advice before the next church? Is going to be Monday, the next church? Is that right?
Yeah.
We watch Silence of the Fucking Lambs, please.
The girl likes scary movies. I'll watch it this weekend.
It's not a scary movie.
Fuck up,
it's
you're
going to
love this movie. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to call me and go, wow. What the fuck?
Yeah, let's see if I call you at 5 a.m. with nightmares.
Why have I been wasting my time all these years going to see these fucking terrible movies at the movie theater?
Oh, yeah, This Is the End was the worst. I was so disappointed.
I couldn't even. That just looks like, hey, we have a lot of famous friends.
That's what it ended up being.
I have no interest in that.
I love everyone in it, but it was like, what the fuck?
You know
what
I couldn't stand was the one with Bill Murray, Lost in Translation. I felt the same way that Everett. Oh, it's such a brilliant movie. Yeah, I'm supposed to feel sorry for a millionaire who's in China or Japan for 3 weeks.
Get his dick sucked by a 20-year-old.
Yeah, who gives
a fucking, that's a kiss of God right there.
Yes.
After that, you kill yourself. I'm going back to school. Good, I'm going to kill myself. I'm never going to get a soft little 20-year-old twat like that that smells like fucking, you know.
That's great.
I don't even know. It's over, people.
And you're home this weekend. Next weekend you're in Philadelphia.
Next week, I'm
my
the
birthday
fucking
week. I can't believe really? I can't believe you're going to miss my birthday.
What are you going to do?
I was planning a whole.
Let me see. What is the idea that you're going to come up for your 25th birthday?
I thought we were going to go get muffins and bagels and do all that.
Let's talk about the Sara Lee fucking bagels in his kitchen. Are you kidding me?
He yelled at me because I didn't have any food in my house for the girl. So I went grocery shopping with the girl.
He's a Jew. You don't eat Sara Lee bagels. That's the fucking. That's for Gentiles. You give them time.
That's like a Mexican at Taco Bell, dude. You don't do that.
Jews don't eat sandwiches.
You yelled at me because I didn't have any food here for the girl. So before I brought her home, we went grocery shopping.
It's like a Mexican.
And she picked up bagels.
What are you going to do for your 25th birthday?
Just going out and getting drunk and spending time with the girl. That's all.
That's good. That's good.
That's it.
What do you want me to do? Fly to Vegas and jump up and down?
You know me. If it's up to me, I want you to stay at the chateau, fucking whatever, man.
Yeah.
You got to do some sexual. You got to let her fart in your face.
She won't fart in my face. She's a nice person.
That's it. Your 25th birthday, all right. The next Testicle Testament, July 31st at the Ice House, the live taping. We're going to get the chick to fight in your face. It's been too long. We've been fucking around.
That's great.
I didn't know it was your 25th birthday. Yeah. I know you're going to half a faggot on. I went to the Mexican restaurant.
No, I'm going to a Barney's Beanery.
Like boy. Wow.
I like that bar.
Whoopee.
I like that bar.
That's a fucking real. Oh, boy. I wish I was 25 again because I could go there with my hat and propeller. Might as well bring a suicide note and shit. So you can shoot yourself. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I'm going to a bar with all my friends, and then the girl and I are going to come home.
What? Not those fucking stomach kids, Yang.
I invited a bunch of people, you asshole.
Not that. Oh, not the girl and her brother.
They're part of the people who are coming, yeah.
this guy, he's Hannibal Lecter to himself. You just told me they're fucking dead weight. And
no, when did I say that?
You said it 3 weeks ago. You go like, oh, the brother's dead weight, the sister.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, your goal
Christ.
Is to fuck the sister. So you don't want to
no,
be the whole time.
It was
brother.
3 months ago.
Yeah, that, still, but you still want to suck your dick.
No, my basically girlfriend's coming now.
No, but you're still going to blowjob in the bathroom.
Do not understand how this works, Lee.
What the fuck, Lee?
It's your birthday.
It's your 25th birthday. You got to get a finger up the ass up. You got to get the party started.
Everything that you think that would make it great sounds like a terrible thing to me.
No, that's a get your girl to bang the sister
I'm
in front of you.
My friends, you're taking that Stamika chick with the Japanese friend that don't suck your dick, with the brother with the other Stamika that's not going to. Lee, really?
What?
Because Jordan Lee says something. He goes, yeah, we're going to have Lee's birthday party.
Yeah, I invited Jordan.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ. Are you fucking serious, Monty's Beanery? Have you lost your mind?
I like that bar.
You're going to go all the way to Hollywood to get tortured on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
And to get a DUI on the way home? Really?
I'm not going
to
be driving.
Who's driving?
I'll take a cab or something.
You won't go for a cab. That's a $200 cab.
No shit, dude. Are you crazy?
Get it together.
Then she'll drive. I don't. What is
she can't drink? On your birthday, the broad's not going to drink?
Yeah, you can't
do
that.
So where do you
man.
Want me to go?
You're going to go somewhere here. Tell those people to go shoot themselves.
Yeah.
That's the last batch of people you want to see on your birthday. If they ain't sucking your dick, don't show up here with the brother. Please. Don't insult me.
Yeah, tell them to leave the brother at home and come by yourself.
Anytime a dirty chick shows up with a brother.
Oh, it's a worse thing.
You got to go, dog.
You know who you are. Don't bring him. Yeah.
Don't bring the brother. You don't like the dude anyway. And then the friend, then the Japanese chick that always insults you. No, why? These ain't your friends. Get them out of here. It's you and this new girlfriend. A bottle of wine, an Elvis movie.
Yeah.
You put a robe on, you do a manicure, you go to fucking Benihana, up the corner right here in the valley.
Make it a night with her, dude. Don't cranium for your
that.
Family.
That's $200.
Dude, save the board games
on
and Thanksgiving.
Friday night, Bonnie's being away. Stop.
No.
All right, maybe I'll rethink my plans.
No, up here. Tell these idiots to come up here and then lose them all.
Yeah.
Let them go to Bonnie's Beanery. Don't say nothing.
Tell them you're going to bar hop and then bullshit them. Go meet them at one bar. Happy birthday.
I lost my phone. I got mugged by 3 Puerto Ricans. You and the girl right up here somewhere, a nice sushi place. You throw sushi in her mouth like that, and you throw the fucking... And you throw the sashi in her mouth, that's all over. It's your 24th birthday. And you want to hang out with fucking duddy fuddies.
Bad
I'm trying to help you out here. You're my brother.
All right.
If I was in town, I'd light your balls on fire, take you to a strip club.
All right, that's it. What are you doing to my balls now?
Forget about it.
Has he ever given you advice?
What are you doing to my balls? You're fucking giggling.
He's talking about taping a straw in my nose and then
that's
taping the end of the
you're
straw in a
bottle. You're learn a lot then.
That's
that
a party.
No, that's a party I don't want to be invited to.
You're 25th birthday.
But he's absolutely right. You don't need to hang with dead weight on your
dead
fucking way. Birthday.
There's
no
dead
way.
Waiters. They're not going to do
no fucking right. way.
Two editors, you don't need them either. They're fucking dead weight. It's you and this broad. You like this girl.
Yeah.
You put a robe on, you get some avocado spray, you shave your stomach. I mean, look, you got hair on your stomach?
Yeah.
You got Jew hair on your stomach?
Of course it is.
Make like a design.
Yeah,
I don't have that much. I have a little.
What's her name?
My new girl,
yeah.
Paula.
Put Paula on your chest hair.
P with a
P, big P, yeah, big P. And then a P, and then the bottom of the P is an arrow pointing right to your balls. Come on,
Jesus!
Look at this. How hard would that be? Right? That would be genius.
Get some strawberries, some couple bottles.
I have strawberries.
That you're in.
Get a fucking dildo, like a fake dildo, so you can suck a little twat.
What was your advice? He called me. He's like, you're looking at strawberries. Get this big one, dip it in sugar, stick it in her pussy, eat it 2 hours later. Ooh, it's juicy.
Who needs a chocolate-covered strawberry? When was the last time you got a fucking monkey-covered strawberry? A strawberry covered in chocha? Huh? When was the last time? Huh? Who takes care of you like me, cocksucker? Nobody. This is why you got to take Onnit products. You people sitting there going, Joey, how do you think of this shit? Alpha brain. Go to Onnit.com. Cut this shit. Go for your first day in the right direction of health. Onnit.com. Get a rope. Get one of those fucking one-arm things that you pull up, a kettlebell. Do something. Do something. Do something. Yeah, do something. Get a fucking vitamin pack. You can mix and match. You can get the Shroom Tech Sport. You get the Alpha Brain. You can get the hemp chocolate protein. All right? Don't make me yell at you again. Get it together. On it. Go to the box in the corner and print.
What do you print?
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. That's it.
Yeah, and then after that, you're gonna go to Onnit. Now that the show is over, go to Hulu Plus. Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit shows right now. Go to our show homepage at joeydiaz.net. Click on the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to huluplus.com/joey. Again, the banner at joeydiaz.net or huluplus.com/joey.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Stay for black.
Always, Jerry Rocha.
Thank you, Jerry.
He's on Facebook, Twitter. Bad, funny motherfucker.
What is it on Twitter? Just Jerry Rocha.
Jerry.
What's
a
the question? What's with the question?
Jerry what?
Jerry A. Rocha.
Okay.
Oh shit, Lisa Ann. Oh shit, this is from your hometown, Lisa. This is what you represent every day, Aerosmith. When you leave the house, the first 5 hours, this is what you represent. Not the old shit. The new. Listen, it's like a little mind fucking gives you with a slow little guitar. Hit it, Lee. Oh shit. Wiggle for Uncle Joey. Give me a little Wednesday wiggle. Little Wednesday wiggle. Come on, get up, baby. You have a wiggle for me all week.
There's no video.
You don't need to wiggle. Just for me, for Uncle Joey. I don't need to share you with the world. Let's go. Let's go, John Paulito Jr. Do a little wiggle for me. Hit it.